It's Wednesday, June 24th, day 95. Like many academics, I have a book problem, in the sense that some people have a heroin problem. Not only can I not stop reading, but I also kind of stop myself buying books. This probably has something to do with having grown up in a book-free home. The only serious book my parents ever bought was a multi-volume set of Noon's Pictorial Encyclopedia. This was a typical product of mid-20th century British exceptionalism, in which London was still the centre of the civilised world, and Britain had single-handedly won the Second World War. But it also had lots of harmless stuff in it, and I wasn't old enough to have absorbed the lessons of having been a British colony for the best part of 800 years, which rather tends to give one a jaundiced perspective on British exceptionalism. In any event, I read the whole set of volumes voraciously, which had some strange effects on me. Chief among them was that I knew more about Britain, and London in particular, than any other child in Ireland. The first time I ever came to London, for example, was the summer of 1967. I had never been out of Ireland until that day. But I found that when I arrived, the place seemed utterly familiar. I knew the names of the central tube stations, for example, and where Trafalgar Square was. Before I started looking for a job, I had two key objectives. I wanted to go to the British Museum and see the Rosetta Stone, and I wanted to go to Downing Street to look at number 10, which of course you could do in those days. So I went to the museum, saw the stone, and then walked down Whitehall to Downing Street and stood outside number 10. In front of the door was a black, glossy Humber Super Snipe. Now, I know that most people wouldn't know what that was nowadays, but we petrol heads notice these things. There were a couple of American tourists standing next to me. The famous door opened and out came two men who got into the car. The American man turned to me and said, "Say, who are those men?" And I was able to reply that one of them was the Prime Minister, Harold Wilson, and the other was his economic advisor, Tommy Balog. Not bad for a lad from the wilds of Mayo, I thought. When I came as a student to Cambridge, I found a letter in my college pigeonhole from Heffers, the booksellers, inviting me to open an account. So I hurried down to their main shop, which was then in Petticoory, and went to the desk. "Does this mean that I can buy books on credit?" I asked. Certainly, sir. That's the whole idea." So I signed up and resolved never to travel more than 5 miles from this wonderful establishment. With hindsight, this was the moment when I became an addict. I bought and read books voraciously. At one moment in the 1970s, I remember having a conversation with some friends on the question of how you would know when you were earning enough money. For me, the answer was obvious. It was when I could buy new hardback books without worrying about the cost. And by the mid-1980s, I'd got there. But there was a problem. Even though we then lived in a large house in the centre of Cambridge, it was nevertheless a finite space. There were only so many walls one could line with bookshelves, even if one's spouse approved, which sometimes she didn't. And the problem became worse when I moved to other houses, two of which were significantly smaller. So many of the books went into storage until I found a bigger place, our current house. But when we got the books out of storage, it became clear that something had to be done. I started to cull them and invited a bookseller to come round and inspect the collection. He proved to be a very disappointing chap, interested only in what I regarded as dross. But anyway, he paid for some and took the rest away as well. And then I made a deal with my wife, that from now on, every time I bought a physical book, I would give one to charity. And when I needed books for work, I would buy them in the Kindle version, which took up no physical space. It was a good idea, and for a time it worked. But I had forgotten one important consideration. It was that publishers would keep sending me books in the hope that I might write about them or review them. Logically, I suppose, I should have given away a book for every one of these unsolicited volumes that arrived. But of course I haven't. Which is why my study is still a mess. But at least we've stopped storing books on the staircase.